20. Comfort from the covenant, the comfort of the covenant. Comfort from the covenant. I enjoy finding comfort from God's Word. You know, we live in a world that's against us. We dwell in a flesh that's against us. Our old nature's against us. And the older we get, the more we are confronted with sickness and problems and sorrows and grief. And so it's a blessed thing when you find some real comfort from the Word of God. When you find some assurance and strength, when the Holy Spirit takes His Word and stirs in your heart and stirs in your soul and drops in a handful on purpose, like Boaz did to Ruth. And this is one of those blessed passages that the Holy Spirit used to stir in my heart in 2 Samuel 23. And I believe it will instruct us and comfort us, all of us, and strengthen us, and may it be so for us all today. Start here in verse 1. Now these be the last words of David. These are David's words here as a dying saint. Not only is he a dying saint, but he's a dying prophet. David was a prophet. And you know, people's last words are generally memorable. You remember the last words that you heard him say. You know, our Lord had said seven things while he was on the cross. And boy, when he told that dying thief, the last words he heard were, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." That's one of the last words our Savior said before he died. But you know what the last three words he said before he died? Oh, are they memorable words?
Yes, sir.
It is finished. That's a memorable word, ain't it? And you know, in Paul, his last words, he says, "The time of my departure is at hand. But I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. And I finished my course." Oh, my. And then it says, not only was he the last words of David, but he was the son of Jesse. Had no remarkable lineage. No remarkable lineage. Jesse was the son of Ruth and Boaz. His grandmother was a Gentile. David's grandmother was a Gentile like you and me. But God had mercy on him. Then it says, the man who was raised up on high. Oh, how God exalted him. Took this boy, ruddy-complected boy, out of the sheep, out of the field, out of being a shepherd just as a young boy. Anointed him to be king. Called him to be a prophet. And you can go through all the things in the Scripture. And one of these days I'm going to, I got a little outline I ran across the other day about it. All how that God revealed Christ to the psalmist David. And the revelation, how he started out and how he went on with the revelation. And he saw Christ in all of his offices. He saw Christ to be his descendant, his seed. When God told him, and I read it to you there in Psalm 89, that thy throne shall I establish forever and ever, David knew that he wasn't going to sit on a throne forever. So he knew that it had to be the Messiah that was going to be a king that would be sitting on his throne forever and ever. So God exalted him to have an everlasting throne. He was the son of David, God bless his Savior was. Then he said he was the anointed of the God of Jacob. The anointed of the God of Jacob, the God who saves the supplanters, sinners, deceivers, people who are weak and nothing. And he was anointed. The Spirit of God was upon him. He is set apart by God. Used of God. And then he said he is the sweet psalmist of Israel. Oh, he sung such sweet psalms and played the harp. You know, he was so good playing the harp. And he'd pluck those strings and he'd even soothe Saul, his worst enemy. The man who hated him so desperately, he'd even caused Saul to calm down as he played that music. And then it says in verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me. He said his word was in my mouth. God spake by me. And that's something to say, to know that the Spirit of God spake by you. His word was in my mouth. The Lord is speaking through this man. David was a prophet. The Lord is speaking through this man. He spoke of Christ through this man. And he even speaks to us through him. Oh, how many times have I read his psalm, and I read what he's going to say here in a minute, and I tell you, I couldn't tell you how God, being dead, yet speaking, and how he blesses our heart. And watch what he says. And the God of Israel said, now he says God's speaking now, the rock of Israel, rock is strength and salvation and power, rest. Spake to me, he that, and this is what he said to him, he that ruleth over men must be just. And he's got to do it in the fear of God. And you find a man that fears God, and he will rule justly. He will rule justly. And he got to be just, and who can rule justly and in the fear of God greater than our Lord Jesus Christ? Deal with every man just exactly the way they ought to be dealt with. No one will be able to say to God Almighty that you didn't deal with me rightly. I tell you that whenever God's sovereign grace goes out and gives one, he's given somebody something that they don't deserve, that they don't have coming to them. And if he just leaves another in his sin, doing just what he wants to do, will that person be able to say, you didn't give me what I deserve? I deserve grace. Well, no one will be able to say that because you didn't know it. If we ever get grace, we didn't deserve it, or it wouldn't be grace. Uh-huh. And he shall be as the light of the morning, showing that he's speaking of Christ here. He rose as the sun of righteousness. And when the sun rises, even a morning without cloud, this man who's just and ruling in the fear of God, as a morning without cloud. And oh, I tell you, when you get up after it's been cloudy and rainy several days, you get up and that sun shining bright, you get up feeling better automatically. Well, when we hear of Christ and his sun arises on us, how it cheers our heart, cheers our soul. And as the tender grass springing out of the earth, and I'm enjoying that right now. That grass is starting to grow, and I walk away and I say, I can't hardly believe it, that it's already about time for grass starts really greening up and coming out. And as the rain of the earth, clear shining after the sun. But here we have a sad confession in verse 5. Although my house be not so with God. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant in all, ordered in all things and sure, for this is all my salvation and all my desire, though he make it not to grow. Here's a sad confession of David. What he's saying, although my house be not so, and a house means your people, all your children, your grandchildren, your family, those that you know. He says, although my house, although my sons and my children, and his sons and his children and his wife gave him great grief, a lot of his life, great grief. David was a man who knew much about sorrow and grief and heartache. He had a son named Amnon and had a daughter named Tamar. And the son Amnon imposed himself and defiled his sister Tamar and hated her. And then Absalom, his son, devised a feast to trap him to come to this feast. And when he got him up there, he brutally murdered him and killed Amnon. And so here's David, got one son that defiled his daughter, and then the other son takes and brutally slays the son who done it. And then he had Absalom, handsome man. Absalom had long, dark hair. And they said he was just beautiful to look at. And Absalom decided, because people bragged on him what a fine fellow he was, how strong he was, how nice looking he was, how smart he was, he decided, well, I ought to take the throne. And he rebelled against his own father. And he drove his father David out of Jerusalem, the city of David. And David had to go as a fugitive and run through the hills with a handful of people. And his advisors and all of the people that was closest to him even rebelled against him. And then, as he was fixing to ride into Jerusalem, and they was in a battle, he got hung in a tree because of all that hair, and he couldn't get himself down, and he was slain. And then David began to cry when a man came near, and he said, "What about my son? What about my son?" "Oh, Abner," he said, "he's dead." And he began, "Oh, Absalom, oh, Absalom, oh, my Absalom, how my heart desires you." And then he had a son named Adonijah. When Solomon was born, Bathsheba, and he was born, and the throne was his, and God said the throne was his. Adonijah tried to take the throne from Solomon, and he ended up dying for it. God killed him for it. So David knew grief upon grief and trouble upon trouble. And look what he says over in Psalm 132. Look what he says in Psalm 132. And we know people go through grief, grief upon grief. One trouble after another trouble, like Job. One sad story after another. Look what David said here in Psalm 132, verse 1. "Lord," and this word "Lord" here means Jehovah, covenant God. "Lord, remember David," calls himself by name before God. "Remember David and all his afflictions." Remember, Lord, and all his afflictions. So he knew afflictions. Now back over in our text, look what he says. He knew trouble upon trouble. He says, "The troublesome upon me as a wave after wave." And he says, "Although my house be not so with God." Does he get despondent? Does he give up? Does he faint? Does he say, "I'm not going to serve God anymore"? No, look what he says. "Yet." Oh, what a word. "Yet." I could stretch that word out. "Yet." "Yet." That's the "yet." "Yet." Oh, the depth of the meaning in this word. "Yet." "Yet," he says, "I've got some comfort. Not in myself. Not in my children failing. Not in my own failings. Not in the fact that I am a prophet. Not in the fact that I'm the sweet psalmist of Israel. Yet though my house, yet though my sons, yet though my griefs are great and my wife is horrible to me, and yet though my house be not so with God, he hath made with me an everlasting covenant." Huh? Oh, my. And you know, beloved, he says there's more in what I've got in this covenant, more in what I have in Christ, than I could ever lose with what goes on in my house. That's what he's saying. With all the troubles that I have, with all the heartaches and grief, and my house may never know God, yet I've got some assurance, I've got some comfort, huh? And here he's looking to Christ, because there's something other than my house that I've got to trust in. There's something other than me being the king that I've got to find some assurance in. Huh? And look what he says, "He hath made with me." With me. He didn't say, "I made a covenant with God." God made the covenant with me. And that's the thing that people are. They want to go on and on about, you know, what they're doing for God. But, beloved, I want to know what God's done for me. Huh? You know, people want to talk about their will. I want to talk about God's will. People want to talk about how they sincere. I want to know about and how faithful they are. I want to know about God's faithfulness. I don't know all I need to know about me. I know all I need to know about you. I know all I need to know about my children. I need to know about God. I need to know about His power and His glory and His faithfulness. That's what I need to know. Huh? That's what David said. He has faith with me. He done it. I was just a shepherd boy. I didn't know nothing about God. I was over there doing nothing. And yet he made with me. What did he make with me? An everlasting covenant. That means it's perpetual. That means it's going to go on and on and on and on and on. Well, how can it be an everlasting covenant since I'm just a man? Because it comes from an everlasting God. It comes from an eternal God. The only thing, since He's everlasting, everything about Him is everlasting. His Word is everlasting. His power is everlasting. His righteousness is everlasting. His everything about God is everlasting. And it always was, and it always will be. He'll be no better when we've been in eternity 10,000 years than He is this moment. And David will still be in that covenant then as he was when he was an old man laying in his dying bed. Oh, He hath made with me an everlasting covenant. And the benefits, the blessings of this covenant, why they're everlasting is because they're endless to God's dear saints. Do you know that we will, when in eternity, it'll still be this covenant that'll be our salvation that's contained in this covenant? Do you know the covenant of God being everlasting, that's exactly what, beloved, we'll be enduring with and going on with and living with throughout all eternity? What if God put Adam in paradise? And he lost it in paradise, and people seem to think that you can go to heaven and that things may change up there. But that won't change because God can't change.
That's right.
And oh my, with the benefit, grace, we'll have grace throughout eternity. A righteousness, we'll have it for everlasting. Access to God, everlasting. Oh my. And then, beloved, I was called everlasting because it promises an everlasting righteousness. Daniel said this, said when the Messiah cometh, he shall make an end to sin and establish and bring in an everlasting righteousness. Everlasting. Oh my. Ain't you glad that righteousness don't depend on us? You know how long it would last? You know how long you'd be righteous? Till somebody crossed you. That's why I feel sorry for people that don't know what it is to rest in Christ. It's got to be working and laboring all the time. I feel sorry for them. They're pitiful. Yeah, they're pitiful. But oh my, an everlasting righteousness brought in, established by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And then this everlasting covenant gives us everlasting forgiveness. God told Jeremiah, He said, this is the covenant that I will make with you. Your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Lord, do you remember any sins I've committed? No. Can you find them? No. Where they at? They're gone. Where'd they go? I put them in the sea of forgetfulness. Where'd they go? I brought them out as a thick cloud. Where'd they go? I washed them away with the blood.
Amen.
I can remember them. The devil's going to see to that.
Yeah.
My children's going to see to that, and you're going to see to that. But God ain't going to. And then it brings in an everlasting joy because everlasting righteousness. Look in Isaiah 51. I told Mary this morning, I said, when I began to think about this last week, I didn't know how in the world I'd deal with it. And I got to working on Friday, and it was such a blessing. I said, it had so much to say to me. I can't tell you the comfort I found in it. But here it brought in everlasting joy. Isaiah 51:11. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon your head. Oh, you may be weeping tomorrow, but I'll tell you one thing. When we get there, Everlasting joy shall be on our head. And why? They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Look what else David says over here about this covenant. It's an everlasting covenant. No danger of us losing it, because God made this with us. God made this with David. And I heard Don Fortner say one time, and I'll never forget it, the first time I heard it, and he said, "Now you think about this before you say it's not right." He said, "David was just as secure and loved of God when he was in the arms of Bathsheba as he was when he slew the lion." Now you think about that. Don't go out and get in the arms of Bathsheba. Don't do that. Don't do that. But it's God who makes the covenant. And the covenant depends on Him, not on you. Huh? And don't do it because it'll cause you such grief and sorrow, cause such shame to be brought upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't do nothing like that. Do like David, rejoice in this covenant. Then he said, it's ordered. He says, "Yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things." Mary asked me this morning, she said, "I have trouble with that." When I told her, going through the outline with, she said, "Ordered in all things." She said, "I find it hard to understand and comprehend what ordered in all things, because we think of all the troubles and things we go through." But that's not what this means here. This means all things in this covenant have their time and their place. Now, what's the first time and the first place that this covenant starts? First, it starts with God the Father. First in time and first in place. It started in eternity. In God. It was born in His heart. And it come from the heart of God. So in ordered in all things, the first place is found in the Father. He planned and purposed this covenant before the world ever began. And the Scriptures tells us that He chose a people. And He loved those people. He loved them with an everlasting love. And that He gave these people, even though they were sinners, He gave them to His Son because He loved them. And He promised them an everlasting salvation. And instead He lays up upon one who is mighty, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the first thing in this covenant, we start with the Father. That's the very first thing. We want, last place we want to, you know who's the last place in it? And secondly, Christ is the second one in this covenant, the second one in time, the second one in place. The Father and the Son struck hands in the eternal covenant of grace, and Christ would be the surety of that covenant. And a surety is one who takes the obligations and debts and compensates for the lacks and the inferiorities and the faults and the defects and the debt of somebody else. Amen. And the Lord Jesus Christ, us with all of our defects and all of our sin and all of our shame and all of our guilt, He said, "I'll take them. I'll bear them in my heart. I'll take them into my very heart and soul." And He said, "I'll go and I'll die for them. And I'll shed my blood for them. And I'll pour it out even unto death to wash them from their sins and to make them accepted in me, the Son of your Lord." And that's why our Lord looked at His enemies when they said, "Oh, who do you think you are?" And He said, "I'll tell you what. You may not come to me, and you may not believe me, and you may hate me, but all that the Father gives me shall come to me. And everyone that comes to me, I ain't gonna cast them out." And He says, "The Father has given me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given me." Huh? And all, beloved, ordered in all things and sure, all the mercies of the covenant are in our Lord Jesus Christ. What are we gonna get from God if it don't come through Christ? Huh? Are we going to get mercy? We're going to give it in Christ. Huh? We going to get grace? It's given to us in Christ. We going to have forgiveness? It's going to be for Christ's sake. Are we going to call on God? God's going to hear us for Christ's sake. No wonder the apostle said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. According as He has chosen us, our election's in Christ. Predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. In whom we have redemption through His blood in Jesus Christ. And all these things are given to us by Him and because of Him. The Scripture says it pleased the Father that in Him all fullness should dwell. And ye are complete, complete,
yes, sir,
in Him who's the head of all principality and power. And you know the last person who has a time and place in this covenant is you and me, believers. Yeah. And you know where our place is? As the unworthy recipients. we're the last ones to know anything about this until God brings you to it. Huh? The believer's place is the unworthy receivers of all this grace, all this mercy, and all the benefits of this covenant. What are some of the benefits? That everlasting righteousness. How do you explain? How can I explain this? And I can't, but you know it. You've experienced it. How can you explain feeling your sinfulness and your uncleanness and your inferiorities and all of your weaknesses and at the same time come to God Almighty and come to Him like you're the only child He's got and without any fear, without any guilt, without any trepidation? How can that be? But we do. It's because of this covenant that's been applied to our heart and soul. And justification? Justification? I cannot justify myself in so many things I say and do and act. I can't. I just have to say I'm guilty. I'm guilty. There's no justification for me saying that or acting that way or reacting that way. But oh, before God Almighty. Devil! Bring a charge against him. Can't. It's God that justified. Angels! You've watched him. You've seen how many stumbled and fell. You saw David with Bathsheba. You saw him plot that murder. Bring a charge against him. I can't. It's Christ that bore his offenses. It's Christ that rose again for his justification. And it's God that justifies. You see it? Do you see it? Oh, my. And forgiveness of all sin, not just some. Sins you ain't committed yet. Sins that I haven't committed yet. Sins that I don't even want to commit. And I'd run like a scalded, I'd run like Forrest Gump. Just run and run and run to get away from them if I could. But they're already taken care of. That's why when I do, I'm not going to despair. Huh? Does that make any sense to you all? Although it be not so with my house, yet He has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. And then here's what a benefit of this that we receive in this covenant. He gives us faith. Faith to receive all this, to believe this, and to rejoice in this. God says, give me perfect love. Christ did. in this covenant. We get that. Believe me, with a perfect faith. Christ gave you perfect faith. So we have perfect faith in Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. And I tell you, what we do, we in order in all things, the last ones, we are receivers of the free grace of God in Christ. That's what we are. Sovereign grace. Free grace. Immutable grace. Salvation. Eternally so. And you know I'm going to make a statement here, and I know it's so. I know it's so. As far as God was concerned, I was always saved. But as far as I was concerned, I wasn't saved until the gospel came because of this covenant and was applied to me by the Holy Ghost. That's how everlasting this covenant is. Now, there was time I didn't have a clue that was going on. But I sure am glad I found out. Didn't you? I'm kind of like our kids at Christmas, you know, used to. They'd just zip, just tear into them packages one after another, and then they'd get done and say, ain't there any more? Always a heap sight more. It just keeps coming, don't it? It just keeps coming. And in this everlasting covenant, let me tell you, beloved, there's cleansing from the guilt of sin. Cleansing from it. You see, if there's no sin, there's no reason to have any guilt. Is that right? There's therefore now, no condemnation that's in Christ Jesus. Them are in Christ Jesus. And there's joy in this covenant for our sorrow of heart. How many times have you come with your heart heavy and you've left with it sinking? And then there's strength in this covenant. And I love this. Strength in this covenant for all the defects and the weaknesses that's in us. It compensates for everything that's wrong with us. We got defects. This covenant is sure and everlasting. Ordered in all things. We got weaknesses. I don't know of any strengths. All I know about is weakness. But this covenant is ordered in all things. And there's immutability in this covenant for all the mutability that's in us. God never changes, and the covenant never changes. We change like the weather. I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob, you're not concerned. David, he was immutable, and he fell, grievously. Yet God remained faithful to him. He hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. And then look what it says. Not only ordered in all things, but it's sure. That word sure means they're safely laid up and kept. You know, you'll find something, you'll get something, you say, I've got to keep that. I'm going to keep that. That's worth something. That's precious to me. And so you lay it up to be kept and preserved. And people go around, they get buy them safes, spend lots and lots of money on safes for guns. Just an old gun. But they're valuable to them. And they make wheels and put them in a safety deposit box and put the jewelry in there and all the things that they think valuable. But oh my, God took this covenant, this everlasting covenant ordered in all things, and He laid it up. And He safely keeps it for us. Our treasures in the heavens, where neither moth nor rust can corrupt it, and a thief can't break in and steal. Safely laid up for us. Laid up, beloved, where you and I can't even reach it and mess it up. God laid up this treasure for us. And it's called the Sure Mercies of David. And look with me again in Psalm 89. This is called the Sure Mercies. God said, I'll make a covenant with you. Even the Sure Mercies of David. You can find that in Isaiah 55 at your own leisure. But here in Psalm 89, look at this again with me.
talking about this everlasting covenant, the sure mercies of David. Look there in verse 28. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. You hear that? How long is forever? With me and you, it's not that long. How many times we said, I ain't never going to do that again. And never lasts with us about that long. But when God says ever or never, it means. Watch this now in verse 34. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is going out of my lips. Can we trust God? Can we take God at His word? Oh, my. And let me tell you, let me say this. I'm just about done. I know some of you are getting tired, but everything is as strong and as sure as His foundation. You know, your salvation is as good as His foundation. The house is as good as His foundation. A marriage is as good as His foundation. Your education is as good as His foundation. It's beginning. Where it's laid. It's got to start somewhere with everything. And beloved, this covenant has a foundation. And you and I didn't lay it. Nobody had. God said, who's been my counselor? Did whom ever instruct me? Who do you think God called around and said, now, if you was me, what would you do to save these poor sinners? If you was me, what would you do to devise a way where I'll get all the glory and they can be saved with an everlasting salvation and do it in such a way that I can be just and still save them and cleanse them from all their sin and make it sure? Since they're so unsure. Make it immutable since they're so mutable. Well, this covenant done it. This covenant has its foundation in God. That's why Paul said no other foundation can be laid than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. You see, God's immutable. That means He doesn't have the ability to change. He's unchanging in His person. He's unchanging in His purpose. That's why He says, what I have spoken, I'll not alter the thing that's going out of my lips. And it's sure, because Christ is the surety of it. The Scriptures tells us that He's the surety of a better covenant established upon better promises. Now, ain't that right? And oh, beloved, look at the value of it, the preciousness of it. What did this mean for David? And this just, I can't tell you what this means to me right here. He said, although it be not so in my house with God, yet He hath made with me an everlasting covenant ordered in all and sure. And then look what He says. This is all, for all my salvation and all my desire. How precious was this covenant to David? He said, it's everything. This is all my salvation. It's all of it. It's all my desire. He never once looked to His faithfulness. Never once said, oh, my salvation is partly in being a prophet or being a king. But boy, what He's saying, with all my failings, with all my down settings, I need a sure salvation. And He said, I have it in this everlasting covenant. And I need a sure salvation. I certainly need a sure salvation. Because I know me, don't you? I need something that's real, that's true. Something to be all my salvation. It's got to be outside of my reach to mess up. It's got to be completely done outside of me. It can't depend upon me for one iota, not for a hair's breadth. It can't. If it does, I'm a goner.
already know that about me. No wonder David said, this is all my salvation. It's all of it. What he's saying is, I'm not looking no place else.
Amen.
I'm not thinking of nothing else. I'm not desiring nothing else. In this covenant, we find infinitely more than we lost in our father Adam. Here is life living in the very midst of death. Christ is our life. Here is fullness in this covenant for all of our wants. When you want, does He not meet your wants? And you know, believers' wants don't have nothing to do with physical, material things. Our wants have to do with Christ. Christ. I want Him. They sung it a minute ago. More about Jesus would I know. More of His saving fullness see. More of His loving grace for me. More of His saving fullness see. Mothers to other grace to show. Oh my. And here is security for us in danger. This is our salvation. Who's going to save us when all hell's breaking loose? Who's going to save us when our homes are falling apart? Who's going to save us when we carry our children to the graveyard? Who's going to save us when we're laying on our deathbed? Who's going to save us when our children are sick and we don't know what's the matter? Who's going to save us? David said, this is all my salvation.
Yeah.
And here's all our peace right in the midst of our troubles. That's what old Job said. He said, though He slay me, I'm going to trust Him. And not to skin worms divide this body. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth, and I shall see Him with these eyes, my own eyes. And oh, beloved, He said, this is all my salvation. And you know why He says that? Because it does not leave out anything that you need for salvation. It don't leave out anything that you need. That's why it's all our salvation. Don't leave out anything you need. And then He says, it's all my desire. It's all I desire. Could you possibly desire more salvation than this? Could you desire more than Christ? Could you desire more than the righteousness of God? It restores everything that I lost and gave me a heapsite more. And it not only does that, but all that I could possibly ever lose, He keeps giving me to restore it. And it's full, this salvation is. I couldn't desire anymore. It's a complete salvation I couldn't desire anymore. And it's given to us in a covenant established with God. So it leaves nothing to be desired. Nothing to be desired. Here, beloved, you know what you can do? We all can do. We can repose our soul in full satisfaction for what this covenant means to us. Find rest here. And here we can bring all of our desires and find them fully met in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can't we? Oh, blessed Lord Jesus. Blessed, blessed Savior. What a salvation. What a salvation. A salvation provided for us. Given to us. And with all the fights and struggles that we go through, it stays true, stays firm. Thank you for it. Thank you for those here who find great comfort and assurance in what you did and have ceased to look to themselves. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for showing us our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for teaching us of Him. We thank you. In Christ our Lord's name. Amen. Amen.